Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. Before we turn to God's Word, let's come to Him in a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word, and we do pray that you would encourage our hearts, build us up with it, and we ask that you would help us to see clearly what your scriptures have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're turning through to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and reading through the first five verses today. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Well, this is a chapter which has had no small amount of debate and things written on it. You're going to find all sorts of different perspectives, all sorts of different books, all sorts of different arguments. And if you sit on a Q&A panel, you're almost always going to get a question from one of the teenagers about gifts and tongues and all that sort of stuff. And what's really interesting about all of that is that one of the things that is completely missed when we get to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is the importance of the first two words in English, pursue love. Now, the reason that is fundamentally important to understanding 1 Corinthians 14 is that it's the guiding statement which controls everything Paul says after it. Yes. This passage is about tongues or languages. And this passage is about prophesying or preaching. But first and foremost, it's about love. You see, Paul is dealing with a church which is fundamentally in error in the way it's acting, in the way it's practicing its faith. And that is, what they're doing is not controlled by love. Everything they're doing is done out of self-service, out of self-satisfaction, out of self-glory. And that's why Paul here deals with this section. That's why Paul here begins to unpack prophecy and tongues. Because what had happened in Corinth is a particular gift had been overemphasized at the expense of all the rest because it enabled individuals to glory in themselves. And so Paul, having driven home the emphasis of love, now says, pursue love. But in case the Corinthians might turn around and say, oh, you're just trying to tell us not to have spiritual gifts, he says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. In other words, yes, use the gifts that God gives you. Use them. Excel in them, but not at the expense of love. So whatever interpretation you come to at this passage, whatever teaching you hear on 1 Corinthians 14, it must not be at the expense of these first two words, pursue love. And whatever conclusion you come to on the miraculous so-called gifts, do not lose sight of the fact that all gifts are given, yes, for the sake of the glory of God, but horizontally for the sake of love. And so as we come to this text, we do so in the context of recognizing that we're seeking to love one another. And so Paul here drills into tongues and prophecy as an illustration of this principle, but also because it was at the height of what was going on in Corinth. The tongue, languages, was being stressed. When he talks about tongues, he's not speaking about gobbledygook or random noises, but he's speaking about languages, like we saw at Pentecost. Everyone understood them in their own language. And so it's that same idea. But what does Paul say here in this first section? Paul says, excel at spiritual gifts, pursue them in love, and for this reason, I want you to emphasize prophecy. And he's going to argue for the rest of this chapter that we should pursue prophecy above tongues. Not neglecting tongues, but pursue prophecy first and foremost. Why? Well, because prophecy builds up the church of Jesus Christ. And so Paul here says in verse 2, the reason you should pursue prophecy rather than tongues is that ultimately tongues only serves the self. And he says this in verse 2 and then in verse 4. Verse 2, one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. Now, you're not meant to understand mysteries in the spirit in the sense of when you speak in tongues, you're revealing something. You're revealing something, a mystery that no one could have known otherwise. That's not what he means, because if you notice in verse 4, he says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, which he also confirms in verse 2, where he says, no one understands him. He speaks not to men. So whatever you understand this tongues to be, it's not the revelation of mysteries. In fact, if anything, it's the clouding, because people are unable to understand anything unless, as we'll see next time, unless an interpreter is there. And this is why prophecy is given the emphasis. Why is prophecy given the emphasis? Well, have a look at verse 3. The one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. And then in verse 4, second half, the one who prophesies builds up the church. And then in verse 5, I want you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. Why? The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Why is prophecy, according to Paul and the Spirit inspiring the Word of God, the most important aspect of the church? Because it builds up God's people. Because in love, prophecy uplifts the people and draws them nearer to God by revealing the truth of God's word. Now, you might be tempted here to think that prophecy equals foretelling the future. And that's because often we use it that way, don't we? We say, oh, someone prophesied something, and we're thinking of people foretelling things. But actually, the bulk of the time, in the scriptures, Old and New Testament, prophesying's not used that way. In fact, the vast majority of the work of the prophets was not foretelling, but rather forthtelling. What's forthtelling? We know what foretelling is. What's forthtelling? Well, forthtelling is looking into the Word of God and declaring what it says. You see, the prophets would read the law, consider what's going on around them, and then declare what God's word says to the situation, calling them to repentance, declaring forth, telling forth the word of God. And that's what Paul's talking about here. That's why he's not speaking about so that you can know the future, but rather so that you might be upbuilt, encouraged, and consoled. See, those are the three things we need, right? We need consolation in our sufferings. We need encouragement in our discouragements, and we need to be built up because we are the people of God. And without God's word, we will never become who God wants us to be. And this is why, historically, the Reformed Church has put emphasis upon the preaching of God's word in the church service. Not that the other things are not important. They're all equally important, but they have placed preeminence upon the Word of God, because in that moment when the Word of God is read and explained, the truth of God is brought in a way that it is not in any other place, in order to build up the body of Christ in love. We must keep the Word central in everything we do, and especially in the church service. You see, all of this is about the church service. All of this is about the body of Christ and how it functions. And the great thing we need is forth-tellers, prophets of the word of God in the true biblical sense. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. We do pray that you would raise up men to declare your word to us, that we might be nourished and fed and built up, encouraged and consoled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks very much. I'll see you back here tomorrow.